April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you, buddy, pal. How are you?
What up? What up? I was, so we're in studio.
And yeah, buddy.
I went up to you and I was like, so what are we going to talk about today? Not realizing that there's like a billion things
yeah,
to talk
it's like
about.
We got a lot to talk about.
We haven't recorded since Saturday, right, for
yeah.
Go Birds. So
yeah,
quite
so
a bit.
Been all kinds of football action.
Yes. Yes.
Brandon Brooks retired today.
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
The football.
Not that out of nowhere, I guess, but you know, kind of out of nowhere.
So I normally, like, I hate, like, on Twitter when I see things, like, just, like, general phrase people say that everyone says, like, oh, my God, this is why you love the game. Like, blah, imagine this, whatever, blah, blah. Dude. And we don't have to talk about it for too long. But that Buffalo-Kansas City
game. Oh, we are going to talk. It was phenomenal.
Like, and I know it's
one of the great games in the history of the sport.
It was literally, like, one of those moments where I was watching it and thinking, like, this is why. Like, this is why you watch football. Like, it was unbelievable.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And I also couldn't help but think, like, if you were Buffalo and you lost that game, how do you even sign up to play next year? Like, do you just forfeit on the spot? Are you just like, we are never going to beat Kansas City? There's no point in even playing the next year. Like, all next year is going to be about beating Kansas City for them. It was just unbelievable game.
Yeah.
I ordered wings for it.
Oh,
halftime.
Good for you, bud. Look at you.
At halftime, too.
Yeah. The whole weekend. It was the best weekend of football of my lifetime, I think, without a doubt.
They were all
four games ended on the last play.
Yeah.
All four games. That has never happened before. It was wild. Some games better than others, but I think.
I think, like, the LA-Tampa game was exciting and fine, but I wouldn't say it was, like,
well, the second
epic.
Half was great.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
The point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Cincinnati
no doubt.
Game was fun.
It was entertaining. I thought the, you know, snow in Lambeau,
yep.
A defensive struggle was super fun. It was great seeing Aaron Rodgers lose. I didn't even. It's rare that I can step away from the money I place on a game
right.
And actually root against someone. I was able to do it with Aaron Rodgers. He's so unlikable. It was so easy to root against.
And then
that
Jimmy
guy.
G is just, you know, he's a winner. He's a winner.
Jimmy. Look at him. What a handsome man Jimmy G is.
Well, I fired off the Jimmy G
tweet. I'm excited. We'll get into some Jimmy G's. We'll get to the whole weekend. Let's start with Brandon Brooks, though, because I do think that, you know, at least for today, the day he announced
right.
His retirement, probably the biggest story. We're not going to dive deep on it, but just your. Your thought, you were pretty strong in you know, kind of covering this Brooks thing whole year, and you know, halfway through the season, I think you said to me, like, I don't think he's going to play this year.
Right.
And it's like, what? No, but you're all over it. Your thoughts, we'll get to his legacy as an Eagle, but just quickly your thoughts on Brandon Brooks retiring and what it
well,
means.
Well, just from, like, a team perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Cap savings, all the stuff.
Yeah, so, Like, I think Nate Herbig is good, and are fine, I should say. As a guard, like, he's a quality starting guard.
Yeah.
And I think Jack Driscoll is, like, a very good guard.
I think Jack Driscoll's good. I like Jack Driscoll.
Yeah, I think he's very good.
He's a guy we never talk about. He's, like, a solid player.
Agreed. He can play tackle. He can move into guard. I think he's been a very good draft pick.
Great offensive lineman name, Jack Driscoll.
Looks like
sounds like an offensive
lineman. So you agree, great pick by Howie on that one?
It was a good pick.
Yeah.
I've said that before. Fourth round, that's a good pick.
Herbig
was an undrafted guy. Yeah. Again. Great pick by Howie, sure, but also, like, Jeff Stoutland is just the best at his job in the history of sports.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And also, Brandon Brooks, like, really singled Jeff Stoutland out. Called him Jeffrey Stoutland.
Very long.
Yeah, it was like, Brandon, we get it. You want to thank everyone you've ever played with. Thank you.
They thanked Rager, which was funny. Rager,
your boy J-Matt was in there.
That's understandable.
Okay.
And he was, third, which was funny.
Let's get with the most ridiculous one. He thanked Marcus Smith. Brandon.
But who knows? I mean, him and Mark.
I'm sure they were buddies. Yeah, it's why, but still, it's like.
I think it was probably the mental health stuff, too.
But that's a good point. I think about that angle of it. Yeah, you're right.
But, I mean, from a football perspective, Brandon hasn't played for 2 years, essentially. So you can't really sit here and say it's a loss because he hasn't played.
Cap savings alone will make it worth it, right?
So, they open up $12 million in him, retiring, obviously. Now you can say it, retiring. So now they're up to around...
He actually did it.
Yeah, he actually said it.
We're not speculating.
No. So they opened up around $24 million. They are at $24 million now. Which is more than they can do whatever they want now. Like, they can sign 2-3 big name free agents, $24 million, especially there'll be more money coming. They'll restructure guys, they'll probably release guys. Although, there's not a ton of cuts where you look. Every year I go through the list and I'm like, all right, well, they'll cut Vinny Curry, that's $5.5 million. They'll cut this guy, that's five, whatever. There's not really those guys this year. Because of how Howie had to structure this, because of COVID and Carson and all that, he had to push everything to the future. So there's just not as many of those moves. But $24 million is still enough to do whatever they want. They'll just give these free agents low base salaries. Jeffrey will cut a big initial signing bonus, and they'll push them into future years. So $24 million, enough to do whatever they want. I think they're still fine at guard. Brandon even said it today. He was like, the Eagles have Landon, they have Seumalo, they have Driscoll, they have Herbig. They're good to go at guard. It's there. And even Sue Opeta is a decent guard. So I don't think it's a big loss that he's retiring. From a legacy perspective, I mean, he's one of the best guards to ever play for the Eagles.
Ray Dittinger on the midday show today. This is where you look to Ray for these things. Ray Dittinger said he's the best guard I've ever seen in the Eagles' room, which hit me. I was like, wow, because I knew he was really good guard and all that. But to say, and granted, you think about the history of the Eagles, you can think about a ton of tackles, not that many guards, so it makes some sense from that perspective. But him saying he's the best guard I've ever seen play for the Eagles, it was pretty astounding.
Well, I mean, there were years where he was their best offensive lineman. And again, it's guard, so it's just tough because it doesn't have the positional importance that a center or a tackle does. But there were years he was the best offensive lineman and arguably the best player on the team. I don't think anybody would take him first off the roster, but he was arguably the best at his position on the team. So, and what the other crazy thing is, when you think about that offensive line, they'll go down as an all-time great offensive line, just from a personality perspective, right? Remember the thing they did in ESPN Magazine where the five of them were naked.
Lane Johnson, one of the dog mask, him and Chris Long, the dog mask, that's a part of it. That'll be remembered. Jason Kelsey Peters. With the speech, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Jason Peters being an asshole. Yeah, it'll totally. Yeah. It'll remember all that.
But
yeah.
I'm saying also just from a perspective of
his heart, Jason Peters, to quote Doug Peters.
Lane's been here forever. Jason's been here forever. Jason Kelsey. Jason Peters was here a really long time. What's interesting about Brandon is he really only played
two big years, right?
It was 16, 17, 18, he gets hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah, I forgot about 16.
The end of it.
Yeah.
So to have as big of an impact as he had in such a short amount of time, I think just speaks to how talented he was. He was clearly physically an elite level talent at the position. And it's a shame that injuries really ruined his career. I mean, I think when you look back and you remember,
was like, it's the injury. It's like, I just don't, it's hard to keep coming back from this, man. My body's telling me I'm done. That's
basically
what he said.
In 10 years, when we're, still doing the Go Birds pod, we'll look back on Brandon Brooks and remember, ultra talented guy, big part of the playoffs, our Super Bowl team. And it's a shame he couldn't stay healthy. That's
totally. And look, I think he was, and the mental health stuff, I do think that.
He was early on it.
That's what I was about to say is, we have gotten to a point where it's accepted. It's talked about. It is Calvin Ridley missed the vast majority of the season. And it was cool. do your thing. Like, we've come really come around in it. When Brandon Brooks talked about his anxiety, his issues, we were not at that place in society. Like, I think we were heading that way. I think he got a lot more support than he would have if he had done it 10 years earlier, right, or whatever, obviously. But I do think he was kind of on the front end of that, and being willing, especially in this sport, at that position, the big nasties, all that stuff, yeah, for him to come out and talk about that, I do think it had a profound impact for a lot of people.
Well, and I think, too, like, it's easy now to look and say what he did. Like as you mentioned, Calvin Ridley out the whole, basically the whole year. Simone Biles in gymnastics.
Yep.
Like,
I mean, Lane Johnson, 3 weeks,
yes,
boom, Lane just not like, there. It's cool, man.
It's,
you know?
Yes. But I think you're right that when you look back, and you'd probably have a better perspective on this than I would because you were on the air every day when that happened, and, you know, you interact, mm-hmm, with callers more. But, like, I just know.
Oh, it was mixed, man.
I was going to say, like,
it
in my world of, like, reaction, I know
it was super mixed, Elliot.
Yeah.
It was not, like, if that happened today, everyone would be like, good for Brandon. It was with Lane. Good for Lane. We didn't have a single person come,
right,
on. Not one person came on and had a problem with what Lane Johnson did. Not one.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. There were a lot of people who had problems with Brandon Brooks when it happened.
Well,
no,
you remember,
question,
it happened twice, too, if I'm, yep, not mistaken, right? In the, yep, same year, like, twice in 3 weeks or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, he touched on that a lot today, like, his kind of impact. And I also think just from, like, knowing Brandon during the time he was here, like, he definitely is someone that I think has interests outside of football. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, he clearly loved football,
yeah,
worked hard.
Thing.
But, like, I've always thought that when he retires, he'll do something interesting. And, like, he mentioned today, he's going to go to Penn for business school. I bet you he'll be involved in a lot of different things. Like, so I'm just very interested to see what he ends up doing. And, I mean, look, it's sad the way his career ended to a certain extent.
Because,
but
injuries.
I'm also happy for him. Like, he's 32. He has enough money to do whatever
Made
he wants
a lot
of
money.
His life.
He won a Super Bowl,
yeah,
title.
He's
was
healthy.
A big part of that.
Yes.
He will be a legend in Philly forever.
Right. He got to the top of his field. So, yeah, I just think ultimately, like, from a Brandon, like, a personal perspective on Brandon, I think it's, like, sad whenever something comes to an end. But I also think he can definitely walk away, even though it ended because of injuries, he can walk away with his head held extremely high, knowing, like, everything that's in front of him.
So and that's the way it sounded. You know, he talked, yeah, about that general idea of it's not about the beginning, it's not about the end, it's about the journey in between,
right,
and all that. And, you know, I think he had a great one. And, I, you know, obviously there were some pitfalls and some bummers and all that along the way. But ultimately, to your point, made a bunch of money, you know, set his family up for the rest of, you know, their
forever,
lives,
yeah,
all that stuff. And he was one of the, you know, 22 guys who got to start for the Super Bowl champion,
yeah,
Eagles. Like, the only one ever. And we've 55 years of the Super Bowl, we got one. And that guy was a major part of it. Like, that's a real legacy to have.
And I don't think, like, they're not going to retire his number. Like they'll retire Kelsey's number.
He'll be an Eagles Hall of Famer.
Well,
probably.
Where I was going with this was, I do think it would be cool if in, like, 8 years, and I know
they just put the whole
group
in.
They put all five of them together. And,
yeah,
Sam,
well,
Malu
should,
gets,
you know,
lifted up a little,
yeah,
by that. But,
yeah,
like, I just think when you look at the impact that line,
I think,
had.
They should put the whole Super Bowl team in, except Wentz, of course.
If, yeah, well, obviously.
No, I'm kidding.
It's like what we were discussing on the radio, 17 versus.
Yeah, sure.
Do we say Brooks? We
no,
made that list.
We didn't. Yeah, but
he's,
I don't know if he's
not
an all-time Eagle.
He's not an all-time Eagle.
No, but
I agree,
he was a
but,
really great player for the Eagles.
Yeah, definitely uplifted by the Super Bowl, clearly.
And a great legacy.
Yeah, so good for him. I think from an Eagles perspective, it works out great because now
they're set
also
up well.
Like, what would they have done if he would have been like, yeah, I want to come back?
I think it would have been a problem. Like,
because he would have had to move on from
and,
him. You can't
and,
trust
and with
him
the
again.
Injuries, we don't know. Like, he's certainly, the player he was certainly better than Jack Driscoll. But with all the injuries and where he's at now at 32,
yeah,
or whatever, like, we don't know that he's definitely a better player than,
well,
Jack Driscoll today, right now.
That was my thing when, towards the end of the year, and I understood the interest in it, but, like, I would come on your show, and Joe DeCameron Richie would ask me all the time, like, what's up with Brandon Brooks? And in my head, and I think I even said this on the air, I'm like, it doesn't matter.
You,
like,
did.
Yeah, like, he's not going to come back and play. He's not as good
as
you
said. I'd rather have Nate Herbig.
Yeah, like,
more.
I'd rather,
yeah,
have these people have been practicing all. Like, so I think the tough thing about bringing Brandon back would have been that if he came back, you, like, would have had to hand him the starting job, and you're essentially then counting on him. So I think from an Eagles perspective, him retiring, I think it was the right decision for him. It works out better for the Eagles. It definitely works out from a cap perspective. So it's a win-win all around. I guess you don't want to say win because he had to retire due to injury, but as I said, I think he accomplished everything you can accomplish in a career.
So. All right. I want to get to the games from the weekend in a sec, how it relates to the Eagles. Quickly, one question off something that came up in that whole time that just has been gnawing at me and I've been meaning to ask you about, or kind of talk to you about. And you mentioned the cap situation and how,
right,
to find all that. The pushing the can down the road thing. We know, like, look, how he can figure stuff out and all that, but the Fletcher Cox part of this as an example of how it can go wrong.
Right.
Like,
or Alshon.
Or Alshon. Alshon, they're still paying him for a few more years. Alshon's extreme, but also not from the money perspective. I mean, Fletcher Cox is going to be making way more money than he deserves for the next few years for this team, and it's on the books. Like, do you at all worry about those situations when you talk about, like, oh, it's no big deal, the cap, how it'll be fine, they'll be fine. Like that Fletcher Cox contract right now is a disaster.
Well, so here's where I would disagree with you a little bit. And I think your overall point, like, you're right. Fletcher is going to make more this year than he would have gotten, like, if you just based off of his skill
by level. A lot.
Yeah. But I also think there's probably a lot of players around the league that are making more money than what they're actually worth. But Fletcher, to me, is not – Fletcher is not a top three defensive tackle anymore, right? Obviously. But I still think Fletcher is a above average slash, like, good – kind of very good starting defensive tackle.
I think he can be, but he doesn't play every play. He doesn't bring it every play. I think he's close, getting closer to average than to good.
I agree with that. But what I mean is Alshon, and I'm the one that brought up Alshon, so I know you didn't bring the comparison. But I think the difference between the two is Alshon was, like, unplayable. Like, right? Like, old, injured, couldn't run. Like, he was donezo. Fletcher's not there yet. Now, the problem is...
He could be.
He could be. Like, he could get hurt, right?
The trend is not going in
exactly.
The right direction. Yeah.
So... The thing with the cap is, and your point is correct. Like, this is an example of where
we're pushing
it.
And that's why I'm asking you, because I know that you're, first of all, you know the cap better than anyone else, at least that I talked to
about
this
stuff.
Probably.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
I
mean,
it's safe to say.
Spot track guys, they got nothing.
Yeah.
No. What do they know?
Right.
But on top of that, you also do have the philosophy that, like, it really doesn't matter when they do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just kind of, like, asking.
No, I mean, it's a good question.
Could it matter?
Because I kind of view it sometimes a little bit like it's almost like credit card debt. Like, Howie just keeps getting credit card debt and then he just pays it off. But, like, it's risky to continually rack up your credit card because things could happen,
not
you know?
Not the smartest way to live.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like with the COVID thing. Like, Howie pushed back, and then COVID happened and he got screwed because of it. But had he not used his strategy, it wouldn't have been as bad. So, on one hand, I think the cap doesn't really matter. I love following it. I love tracking it. But there's never been a time where I was like, the Eagles couldn't do this because
of the
cap. Other
than the COVID thing that screwed them.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So... I just ultimately don't really think it matters, but you're right, like, that by pushing back on older players to create space, like, this is a situation you run into. But they could still cut Fletcher if they wanted. Like, they could June 1st cut him where they – but that's not a great strategy.
Because you would have a bunch of dead caps.
You'd have a bunch of dead caps. So, ultimately, I think the way he does it is fine because they've always
been – It's more good than bad, but it can come back
bad,
to bite
you in
some spots.
But there's just risks with it. Yeah. And there's risk with how you do everything. I was also going to look this up. I should have, but – you look at the teams that have the most cap space, and they're almost always the worst teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the Colts are up there, so they're a rare exception. But ultimately, the reason the Eagles, to a certain degree, are able to do all the things they are is because Jeffrey Lurie cuts checks for signing bonuses. And I think the teams that have a ton of cap space, the reason they do is because their owners don't cut those checks. So I think how Howie manages it is fine, but of course, there are risks, as you mentioned.
All right, let's get to the weekend of football, because I agree with you. I think that Bills-Chiefs game is... You know, certainly among the best games I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
you know,
it was like
you can quibble, and it's certainly I think it's the best quarterback game I've ever seen. Like, I don't ever remember in my life in that stakes of a game, two guys just like putting on an all-time show like that.
I had the tweet written, ready to go, 13 seconds left in the game. Josh Allen's now the best quarterback. Like, dude, if Josh Allen wins that game, like, he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, if you go in and you outduel Patrick Mahomes, and especially sometimes we use, like, quarterback wins, and I'm big on quarterback wins.
We know.
But Josh Allen, like, literally brought them down the field multiple times to win that game.
Yep.
So
yep.
If they would have won that game, Josh Allen would have been QB1. But it's like Andy Reid said, man, like, when it's grim, you got to be the Grim Reaper.
Well, Mahomes QB1. I think
Mahomes
that was,
is QB1.
I think that
is.
Was, well, I think that was a conversation going into the game, you know, like, Josh Allen, he's the new guy, all that. And Mahomes was like, earmuffs, 1, 2, 3. Fuck that, dude. I am Patrick Mahomes. And he looked it. Like, Mahomes was unstoppable.
As was
game.
Allen, though. That
they
was the
both
wild
were.
Thing.
They both were amazing. But, like, Mahomes, like, man, this dude's ability to just... To,
unbelievable.
To get out of sacks and throw at awkward angles and just, like, make plays. Just find ways to make plays. It is – he is something else, man.
I think
it's something else. He's going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. Mahomes does – he does annoy me with, like, the going on Madden with Brady thing. So, like, I'm not a big Mahomes guy. But I think what shows you that he's so great – is that everyone's talking about how well Josh Allen played, and very few people actually bring up how good Mahomes
was.
Because
it's just what he
is. Expected.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
is.
You talk about a great duel and how good Allen was and what a game, but very few are like, wow, Patrick Mahomes was amazing, because it's just kind of what he does now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, we were texting during the game. Like, it was just unbelievable.
As soon as they won the game, I was like, well, sucks for the Bills. It's over.
But what do you think of the overtime stuff?
So I'm torn on it. Like, I don't hate the rule. Like, a big part of me just says, I mean, obviously, the biggest part of me says Sean McDermott should have not kicked it out of the end zone.
Yeah, you should have squibbed it, or, you should know, whatever.
And also, as many people have pointed out, if you don't squib it and they're on the 25-yard line, take the penalty on the first play. Tackle all the receivers.
Agreed.
Take the 5-yard penalty.
And just kill
and take
five, six seconds
off the clock. Like, there were so many ways they could have won that game without going there. But we get to overtime.
If he's an offensive coach, does he make those mistakes? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Good one. But, you know, like, part of me is like, all right, well, you get to overtime, like, make a stop. You know, I there's part of me, but there's also part of me that understands that defenses are gassed when you get to overtime, and it is more likely than a normal time in a game where an offense can just walk down the field
right.
and move the ball and win the game. So, like, I'm really torn on it because I don't know what the great answer is. I've heard a good idea was maybe force them to go for two, and if you hit the two, then you get it, and then the other team gets a shot, but they have to go for two, and then it's
that's
a sudden death.
I didn't hear that.
Which is an interesting thought. I know a lot of people want them to just play an extra quarter, and if it's still tied after that, then it's sudden death. Like, I like all these things. Like, here's my initial thought is like, oh, you know, like, they already changed the rule. Like, how much more can you do? Like, at a certain point,
right.
like, the game's going to end. But I can also look at this and say, like, all right, this is, like we just talked about, one of the best games of all time.
It's overreaction to a certain extent.
It is, but at the same time, I can also look and say, like, all right, this is a product, right? This is a business. This is a you're trying to get entertainment, right? Like, when the vast majority of your fans who watch that game aren't happy with the outcome because the other guy didn't get to touch the ball, okay,
yeah.
maybe I step back and say, all right, let's fix that. Let's find a way to fix that, because it did suck to watch that game, to watch him back and forth, and then just Josh Allen not touch the ball. Like, that sucked. It did suck as a fan.
To your point, it was a rare example, like, where, first of all, the Bills' defense, and understandably, like, from a human perspective, they were completely demoralized and deflated.
Oh, buddy.
You know, so, like,
again,
there was
they
no
gave
doubt.
Up, they gave up 50 yards in 13 seconds.
So, like, it's a rare example where as soon as they won the coin toss, everyone in the world is like, well, that's that. Everyone.
I texted you. I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. So,
they're not going to win.
So I do think you can't overreact and change a rule just because of one game. But, like, you're right. Like, both teams should get to touch the ball. Like, if you're going to say that a field goal, you don't win, but, like, a touchdown, you do, like, it's the same kind of concept.
Yeah.
Like, they should have gotten a chance to touch the ball. I like college overtime. I understand why in the NFL it's a little different.
Yeah.
Like,
but I don't love that, but I get it, you know?
You know what I would kind of like, and I will be in the vast minority with this? Like, do a full, you know, like, both team touches the ball once, even if you score a touchdown. So if both teams score a touchdown, then it's just matching. But what about if at the end of overtime they just did, like, a field goal kickoff?
Well, you know, I would hate that.
Why?
Like,
I mean,
it's
why?
It's like a shootout. It's not the sport. I hate that. I hate that idea more than anything.
I don't hate it.
I hate it.
I think
I hate shootouts.
It would make kickers more important.
Shootouts in soccer. Like,
I like penalty kicks. Like,
oh,
I understand why.
It's not the sport. It's a different skill set.
It's so, like,
it
now,
is a different skill set. Plus, like, especially, I mean, this is the worst. You're picking the worst game ever for the example.
Right, because you want the quarterback.
You want Mahomes and Allen's on the field. So, like, that doesn't solve the problem, really, in my
opinion. I would also be okay with if in the regular season, a touchdown, you lose. But in the playoffs, they change it.
I agree. I have no problem if you want to have different rules for the play. Jack Fritz is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're just coming in to annoy us. Like,
so mad he can't.
What
be
a
on
jerk.
The pod.
Yeah. Jack, go back and do your job.
Right.
All right?
For once.
For once.
Yeah.
He won't. Never does.
No.
But, yeah. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is. I'm very fine with different rules for the playoffs and for.
Well,
the season.
It's so funny that the Chiefs were the one that wanted the rule changed and
they didn't get it.
And then they were asked about it, and Andy Reid's like, "Oh, thank God," or whatever.
I know.
And I'll say this again. If you're a Bills fan, like,
well,
I mean, like,
that's who I felt the worst for. Like, I feel bad for Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, or whatever.
Loss?
But, like, well, Scott Norwood, like, that's the thing. Like, they have had one more crushing loss. Like, the Bills have had two of the five worst losses in my life. I was thinking about last night. Malcolm Butler, the Seahawks losing the Malcolm Butler interception with Marshawn on the one. Like, that's right there. You know, like, like, the game has to be of a certain amount of importance, and it has to have that. The Music City Miracle. Funny enough, you know, flipped around.
What's crazy is also this was a divisional game.
This is a divisional game. I think, like, in terms of, though, just the way they lost the game, and also you know that, like, the winner of that game is the favorite to win the Super Bowl immediately.
Right, and they've been trying to beat them for years.
Yeah,
like,
and also, I mean, they've never won a Super Bowl. Like, Like, it's up there. And look, as Eagles fans, we've had so many crappy losses, like the Tampa Bay game and all that. We've never lost a game like that, ever. And, like, we've had bigger expectations, like the Tampa Bay loss. But, like, in terms of, like, in the moment losing a game like that, like, there's nothing worse.
I mean,
you had the lead with 13 seconds.
I was going to say, could
13 seconds.
Well, but what's wild is they take the lead, and then this is now
We would be calling for McDermott to be fired.
Oh, without question.
Philly. Without a question. We'd be like, fire.
Literally, no doubt.
Get rid of him.
And then, so, let me make one point, and then we'll move into how this relates to the Eagles. But could you, like, just think about the fact that the Bills took the lead, right, with under 2 minutes to go. The Chiefs, so even then, you're probably thinking, like, okay. Like, we
No. At that point, you're, like, way too much time for Mahomes.
Agreed, but you're at least thinking, like, okay, this could happen.
No.
You are.
No. Honestly, I said, when they scored with 150, I was like, this is way too much time. I was like, the only question is, are they going to tie it, or is Mahomes going to win it with a touchdown? Like,
all right, but
I didn't expect them to score that quickly so the Bills would get the ball back again.
So then the Chiefs score, and I'm just saying, like, to take the lead with 13 seconds to go, if I'm covering that game, I'm starting to write, like,
everyone is.
Like, it's just unbelievable to lose that. So here's we'll transition to Eagles, since it is a Go Birds pod. Here's my biggest takeaway. Like, I am so done talking about defense. Like, this whole thing where it's like, and I love the Gannon debate, like, blah, 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 N'Kobe Dean, whatever. Like, use every single asset you have if you're the Eagles on offense.
Yeah.
And maybe pass rush.
Strong disagree with this take.
The Eagles are not going to win anything until they can win that game.
Yeah, I get your point, but, like, the other games, like, the Niners,
won
their game because of defense.
Right.
Flat out.
So one
of
the four was
No, two of the four. The Bengals-Titans game was defense.
Well,
it was 19-16.
Hold on, but the Titans lost that game.
No one scored 20 points.
But why did the Titans lose that game?
Because Tannehill stinks.
Exactly, they don't have a quarterback.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily. I mean, again, the defense was amazing. Like, their defense was great.
The point I'm making is,
and they might not be in that game without a defense. Like, I get your point. I definitely think. Look, my biggest takeaway from the weekend was that the Eagles have to find their Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
like, that's the big takeaway. It's not. And honestly, it made me think, like, I don't want Russell Wilson. I want Aaron Rodgers. Like, I want a young dude who's going to grow into a superstar. Like,
I want one.
I want my guy for the next decade. Like, that's what I want. That's my biggest takeaway from the weekend.
Well,
I need Josh Allen.
That's kind of what I'm saying a little bit. I'm taking it.
But I think you're
perhaps
think
unexpectedly. I'm taking it a little further.
Yeah, you're taking it further.
But
I think you still need to. I think you're under. Like, I don't think you win without a defense. I still think you need playmakers on defense. Like, both those teams have playmakers on defense.
I guess
you could argue if Trey White doesn't get hurt, the Bills probably win that game. Like, if he doesn't get hurt earlier in the season, they probably win that game.
Like, I have obviously, if when the Eagles pick at 15, 16, and 19, if they get a good play, like a great player in that spot, it helps the team no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, if you draft a cornerback there and he turns into be like almost like Darius Slay, that's amazing. If you draft a linebacker, N'Kobe Dean.
So, but again, I think that you're simplifying it. You're not simplifying enough. You're talking about, oh, spend all the resources on offense. Like, the Bills didn't do that. The Bills went defensive player. Except you just need the quarterback.
Well,
Byron Pringle, you can get any Byron Pringle. You get any DeMarcus Robinson. You get all these guys. Like,
right.
Jerick McKinnon. Like, guys who made a big difference for that Chiefs team. Like, Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick, buddy. Like, you know what I mean?
Right,
a unique situation. But, like, my point is not, like, I think you still need a good defense. I think you use your resources all over the team. It just showed that the most important thing in the sport, by far, which we knew, is having that all-time great quarterback who can lead you forever. Like,
so
that's the key.
I think the point I'm trying to make, and I'm, like, almost thinking my way through this point as we talk, is they have to get a better offense. And however that comes, and I agree with you, it starts with the quarterback. And if you have that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, then you can fill pieces in around him. Like you said, McKinnon, Pringle, like, even the receiver that had four touchdowns.
Yeah, Gabriel
that game.
Davis.
Yeah, right? So, like, I agree with your point. Like, it's about finding the quarterback. But I think what I was trying to say was what the Eagles need to do is, as they attack this offseason, is the first thing they should see if they could spend their assets on is a quarterback and / like offense. And then if there's no good move to make, then of course don't just spend it to spend it.
See, I think this season is actually unique in that I think you build up the defense. And I'm moving everything to 2023. I'm giving Hurts a shot, see what happens. Maybe Hurts takes a big leap because guys do take big leaps, especially at that age, especially from year one to year two as a starter. Like, all that stuff matters. But my whole focus is finding my quarterback all long term.
So
that's it. Long term. I don't want Aaron Rodgers. I want Josh Allen.
I think about this obviously often about the Eagles quarterback position. And on one hand, I say to myself, and people probably think I flip-flop all the time, but like, on one hand, I say to myself, they're in a great position. They're in a great position. They have Jalen Hurts, who could definitely be much better next year, who is young, all those things. And they also have resources to go and get someone else. So it's kind of like the saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have none. Like, it's a little bit like that in the way that the fact that they don't have the guy is not a good thing. But I also think they're kind of in a good spot with the fact that Jalen Hurts is an excellent fallback plan. Like, if you're the Eagles and you go out this offseason and you scout all the rookie quarterbacks, you look into trading for every veteran, like all those things, and nothing works out and you don't find the guy you like, you're not going and starting like Kevin Cobb or Sam Bradford or whoever. Like, the person you're starting is a quality, like, probably top half of the league starting quarterback. Would you agree with that?
I think he will be. I mean, I think right now he's like 2018,
22. Yeah, so close. So, I mean,
yeah, close. I think
16,
he can be.
Yeah.
And I think he will be. I think he will grow. Like, I think he will be. I just worry. And I agree with you. As a fallback, that's great. The question is, can he become top five?
And that's what I can't decide. And I also wonder, if we look at Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and say you have to get that guy, but it's like, this is obviously a stretch, but it's almost, you know, like watching baseball and being like, all right, yeah, let's go get, you know.
It's a little different, though. I get your point, but it's a little different. It is, because, like, in this case, like, it's a specific position, right? In baseball,
right,
you can go get any guys in any position, and they're different values and different whatever. But, like, also, it's like, it's the only position. But also, it's like, I think with the quarterback position, it's just so much more important than, I mean, like in baseball, like all nine guys matter. The pitcher.
The point
matters.
I was making with baseball was, and I just picked it randomly, it's like watching baseball and being like, hey, we have to go get the next Mike Trout. It's like, well, yeah, everyone could use
right,
the next great
of
player.
Of course, but
and
I'm
with
saying,
Josh Allen and Mahomes.
Like, what do you think about this as a strategy? Draft a bunch of quarterbacks.
I mean, look, you're kind of preaching to the choir to me on
right?
that one.
Like every year. Hey, you know what? Like, because if you look at all these, like, neither Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes was the first pick in the draft.
I know.
10-7 or 7-10, whatever.
And that's
like,
my thing with this whole narrative that the quarterback class is a bad one. It might be. Like, it really might
one
be.
One of these guys will be good.
One
I
of them will
don't
be
know
good.
What, yeah,
yeah.
One of them will be good.
One of them will be really good. And so the Eagles are in a position where they can probably get any of the ones they want, right? Like, I don't think there's, like, last year, nobody was getting Trevor Lawrence besides the Jaguars.
Right.
Like, no one, they weren't trading him. Wasn't going to happen. This year, like, where does let's say it's Kenny Pickett that becomes the one that, like, rises up, and I think he's the one that's most likely to do it. Malik Willis could as well, but I would say of those two, like, those are the two that'll probably rise up, but I don't think whoever really loves them, like, you could probably get them at 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, I don't think you're going to have to get into the top 3 or the top 5 to get them. So if you really like one of those guys, and there's a bit of a smartest guy in the room element to this from
Howie. Oh, for sure.
But if you really like them, then, like, go get them. And I think the takeaway from the Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes thing isn't go get the next one of them, because they're both special for lots of reasons. But what they have that Jalen Hurts just does not have is a
cannon
for an arm.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have it.
It
and, like, Jalen has everything else you would want in a lot of ways.
Though,
like,
also, we don't, again, to the point made by the Tampa Bay coach, whatever his name is, or whatever the can't read thing and all that,
yeah,
like, I do think we don't know yet. And I think that's I don't blame him yet. I think it takes time. I think you need to see stuff in the NFL to understand it, to see, like, you experience, you know, the whole, like, you can't blitz Tom Brady because he's seen everything. Like, yeah, you need to see things.
Right.
Like, right? Like, I think Jalen Hurts needs that opportunity and stuff, but, like, I think you need a can arm, and you also need to be able to look at the field and see what's happening and know where to put the ball.
Well,
and that's something we just don't know yet. I believe he can get there,
yeah,
but we need to see that happen.
The interesting thing about that clip is, I think a reaction to the clip was, well, he's facing Todd Bowles, who's a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator, one of the best coordinators in the league, like, all those things. And that's true. Like, it was tough to play that Buccaneers defense. But they got the perception of Jalen Hurts that they set on that sideline from games earlier in the year that they watched.
Sure.
Like, they didn't come into the game and all of a sudden realize he can't read defenses. They saw that
again,
on tape.
It doesn't, like, I want a quarterback who can go up against Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I want a quarterback who can go up against any defensive coordinator in the league. And again, it's not just,
it's just going to take time.
It'll take time. And look, he might not ever get there. Like, there are a lot of great, talented quarterbacks who don't get there because they can't read the field well enough. Like,
yeah,
that is part of it. That is just part of the
sport.
Well,
it's a little bit like the cannon thing where it's saying,
like, Mahomes is amazing at that.
Yes. Like, the cannon thing, I think the reason people focus on it so much is because it's viewed as something you either have it or you don't. Like, he will probably never be able to throw a ball the way, like, Michael Vick did. Right?
Sure.
Like, but I also think we need to talk a little bit, like, the reading the field and processing thing is a bit like that too, just in the way that,
sure,
you have to be able to do it. Like, Tom Brady.
Again, Brady never had the strongest arm in the NFL. He's just the read everything the best, like, saw what was happening, knew where to put the ball. Like,
right, and the experience got him that, but also, he just has it in him,
yeah,
to snap.
Always had
like
it.
Like Russell Wilson, these guys that have played all these years, like, it's just hard to mentally break it down, like, to get to the line and be like, okay, that's where the linebacker is. They're playing man, this is coming. If they do this, I'll do that. Like, then when the ball snaps, to look, like, it's hard to process
totally
all of that. And so I think that, I don't know if Jalen can do it or not, but he's played at Alabama.
It's the hardest part of the position.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean.
And it's what, and the thing too is it's also like.
Above
it's,
the shoulder
it's
guy.
That's why I've always been yeah. above. That's why I've always said that stuff's so important. The thing that makes Mahomes so special too is that like he doesn't even need the structure. Like he doesn't even need to know, like he can like on the fly be like, right. all right, Kelsey, do this and I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like that's where it's like yeah. that next level of it. But I think like, again, to the point, I agree. And look, I do think Hurts can take a leap. Like Jalen Hurts is my quarterback for 2022. Personally, that's my plan. But I'm trading one of my picks for next year. I'm moving back in the draft to get picks for next year. Like I'm building everything I can up to if Bryce Young, if CJ Stroud, if these guys look like the true blue guys. Cause like, yes. And I think you can prioritize the quarterback position in drafts
right.
and like take shots, right? Until you get the guy. But the odds are most guys are taken in the top 10. Like yes. that is the general. So like, I do think you need the ammunition to get up there and go for a guy potentially.
And I don't disagree with that strategy. I think it's like a smart one and it's kind of in the same vein a little bit.
And I'm not
bit.
Even saying I would do it. I'm just throwing it out there as like a concept.
But I think like when the Eagles took Jalen Hurts in the second round.
That was some of the idea.
It was some of the idea. But then I also think like if you're already of the mindset where you need to come up with a backup plan, then you probably don't have the guy. Now the issue is like
well,
how.
Look, if we had to bet, like I think I'm excited about Hurts. I think there's a chance he takes a leap. But if I had to bet my life, I would not bet my life that he's going to be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you would probably.
Most people. I
don't, would, yeah, exactly. Like,
again, there's only 5
Justin
guys.
Justin Fields, who
right.
I really like a lot. Like I probably wouldn't bet my
life on
that either. I would
absolutely not bet.
Yeah.
Any of the new guys. Mac Jones, I wouldn't. Like none of them.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think the interesting thing for the Eagles is, and to kind of loop it back to the playoffs, is just my takeaway was like, the Eagles' passing game just has to be better. And that's on the receivers, it's the coaches, all that stuff. But like, that was my takeaway from the weekend. Like, yes, their defense needs to be better, all those things. Clearly, they are not ready to compete in those type of games, right? Like,
yes, if they felt far away.
Yes, it they felt far away watching them, right? But I also think, just watching the way these other teams pass the ball versus the way the Eagles pass the ball, it was eye-opening how much easier the other teams move the ball down the field. And I don't know if the stats back this up. I'm just saying the eye test of watching those passing games versus how the Eagles' passing game looked this year, that is where the improvement needs to be made. Maybe it starts with the quarterback. Maybe it starts with putting better players around the quarterback. Maybe it's on Sirianni. But whatever it is, their passing game has got to be better next year.
I 100% agree with that. And in general, I think, you know, across the board, I think the roster needs to be better. You know, they were a 9-8 team this year that looked like not average team. They were an average team. You
yeah.
know, and the teams we just watched are good to great.
But what's so funny is I agree they were an average team, but like I mean, a lot of like Pro Football Focus ranked them as like the 8th best team in the league, which is so
I'm
that's
not stupid.
Saying
we
feel
just
that
saw
way,
it. They got
but,
they gave up 31. They were down 31-0 the Bucks, who got roasted by the Rams. The Rams let them come back in the game, but like the Rams were clearly the better. Like the Eagles were nowhere close to these teams. Like it is what it is. We'll get more into that in a sec. Let me remind you. I mean, download the Park Sportsbook app. We have been having
especially now
such a blast, and you got the biggest games of the year coming up. We got the big one coming up. All that stuff like. Just download the app already. I've been having such a blast. We're going to do our picks later in the week. We're going to dive into every game. Somehow, even though I got 3 of the 4 games wrong, I made money this weekend.
Unbelievable.
You know what the beautiful thing is? Alternate lines.
Yes.
They're great.
You're big on them now.
They're great.
Yeah.
It gives you so much leeway. I knew these games were going to be close. I was like, So, hey, let me bump Buffalo up a little bit.
Well, and then
feel good.
The nice
pretty
thing.
Happy I did that. Let me bump Tennessee up a little bit. Let me get some plus odds on Tennessee.
The nice thing about betting now is like betting Sundays where all the teams are playing is like your head is spinning, like you're doing all these games and it's so fun in that regard. These games are fun because one's on, you have a bet for that one
and you're
just focus
in.
On it and then
all in.
You go in the next one.
And by the way, let me remind people, both baseball and both football and basketball right now heavy betting and live in game betting, folks, it is the way to roll. Like last night watching Philadelphia, they're playing New Orleans. They're losing early. I'm like, huh, let me open up the Park Sportsbook app, see what those live odds are. They were a 12-point favorite coming in. Oh, it's 6.5. Sounds like a deal. Boom. They win by 10. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Making all this money.
Beautiful stuff. Live in-game betting. Same game parlays. All this stuff. Alternate spreads. It is all there for you. It is all blast. And here's the deal. If you sign up now, you get your first bet. Risk-free up to $500, a $500 risk-free bet. Just download the App Store, click parkscasino.com/PA. and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded. Site credit. The website has all the details. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, any other takeaways from the weekend outside of just the quarterback play? And we're going to, again, make our picks, all that. Like, what are your thoughts on the, again, I think, like, probably the best weekend of football of my lifetime.
Yeah.
Ray Didinger, we asked him on the air today, you know, was this the best weekend of football ever? And he goes, if there's a better one, I can't think of it. Like, Ray Didinger talking about it. So, like, accept it as one of the great football weekends of our lifetime. What were your other kind of takeaways from the weekend?
Well, I mean, do you want to talk about Jimmy G?
I would love to.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
yes.
I am not going to be the Jimmy G advocate, but I do think it's interesting that, like, nobody wants to trade for this guy, and all he does is win. And they win when he plays, and they don't when he doesn't play. And I know he's not the reason they win. I know he's not an elite quarterback. I know he has limitations. But it's just crazy that when he plays, they win, and when he does not play, he doesn't win. And he can probably be had for, like, a second-round pick.
Yeah. I think Jimmy G is incredibly underrated.
Yeah.
I would much rather have him than Kirk Cousins. Like, that similar type. I think a lot of people think that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jimmy G.
I would rather have Jimmy G.
What about Derek Carr?
I think I'd rather have Jimmy G than Derek Carr. It's close. But again,
I think Carr's more talented.
Carr's more talented, but Jimmy G, like,
he throws a great ball.
I will say, I do think that Jimmy G is a particularly great fit with Shanahan with that offense, as is seen, like, his numbers in this offense are
right.
Not like, and that's the thing, is his numbers are really good too, like, when he plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Jimmy G. I think he's a winner. I think he's, you know, got that leadership stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff, the charisma. I mean, he's one of the most handsome men to ever put on a football uniform.
No question about
like,
that,
just
yeah.
a gorgeous
human. I mean, imagine him and Sirianni together.
I mean, let's put this way. No one in whatever, 20 years or whatever, has been able to get to Tom Brady other than Jimmy G.
Yeah.
The only person who made Brady feel self-conscious was Jimmy G.
So,
what does that tell you? All right? He got him traded. He went and said, trade this bleeper off my team. I get him around. He's too good looking. That's what he said.
So
quotes.
Would you? If you're,
but I do not want Jimmy G as
Eagles quarterback. Two questions. For
one
season.
I think he's a particularly very good fit with Shanahan and that off.
For one season, if I told you the Eagles quarterback next year was Jalen Hurts and I told you it was Jimmy G, which team's better?
It's a great question because it takes out the, like, if you ask me who would I take, I would take Hurts because of the upside there, but I think Jimmy G's probably better right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and you would definitely take Hurts, like, long term. Like, I'm saying, like, you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, I would take Hurts.
Okay.
And even then, like, Hurts might never be as good as Jimmy G is right now. He might never get there, but at least there's that upside. Like, Jimmy, and also the other thing we do have to mention, if we're talking about Jimmy G as your quarterback, is dude can't stay on the field, man.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
it
true.
Does matter. Like, it is a thing at this point. Again,
yep,
even this
ACL,
run right now,
yeah.
he's like beat up. They're not practicing. He's going to play, but they don't know what he's going to play. All that. Like, that stuff matters. We've been through that.
The
you
thing
know?
About Jimmy G that's enticing to me is, I think he's a good
winner.
Well, he's a winner.
He's a winner,
which is big for me. But also, like,
buzzword,
like, the in the Shanahan thing, I'll hold L on that. Like, Shanahan is obviously
thank you
good
for
coach.
So you didn't even let me do that because that was going to be the next
he's
thing.
He's obviously good.
I was going to flat out ask you, would you like to apologize to Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, I was wrong. He's
apologize to me as well too, or
yes,
no?
Apologize
okay,
to you.
You.
Yes,
thank
I was wrong
told
about
you
Kyle
the
Shanahan.
Niners were good and Kyle
Niners
Shanahan.
Are good. Yeah, I think the Niners might win the Super Bowl.
I'm thinking about
like, they
too.
Have a little bit of like an
like,
it factor.
We're
going to
make our picks later in the week. And I feel very confident that I'm picking the Chiefs. I'll get out in front of that. Like, I think the Chiefs are... Like,
I think they're going to smack the Bengals.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like I'm trying to create all these other things, and it's like, when I saw the game, I'm like, really? Someone's going to
It's a little bit like when
Chiefs
the Eagles played the Rams the first time in the championship game, where it's like, the Eagles are the team that's not supposed to be there against a team that's obviously
way
better.
Yeah. Yes. But I agree with you on the Niners, and I feel like the Rams are more talented, and I was very impressed with what they did in Tampa, so that first half and stuff. But, like, it feels dumb to pick against this Niners team right now.
We should look up. I'm surprised I don't know this already. I'm going to look it up as we talk.
Okay.
What the Niners' odds are to win the Super Bowl.
So I'm sure it's way less. I think it's, like, plus 600 now or somewhere in that range.
Oh, that's it? I was thinking it would be
it's
would be
way
longer
less.
Than
I
that.
Know that they were... before the playoffs, they were 17-1 to win the NFC.
And at that time, I just
the
said,
NFC,
don't bet that.
Right. Much less.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
NFL
by the way, can I just real quick, talking about gambling and all that, can I give you my biggest lament?
They're plus 450.
Okay, so even less.
Yeah.
Can I give you my biggest lament from the weekend? Yeah. I'm so mad. And it was because I was in the moment of the game, and obviously not the game. I was like, wow, this game.
Right.
I can't believe I didn't open up the app to see what the odds are when it was 13 seconds
I know.
Off. It was probably.
Well, did you see what it was?
Probably no.
It was 16-1.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
I was gonna say 21. I'm sure it's somewhere in that range. Like, I would have bet on it if I had thought about it in the moment. I would have been like, it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, Sure. Is it worth a $5 bet to win, you know, $200, $400, whatever it is?
It would have been. Yeah, I agree. It would have been $200? The right call.
Yeah, it would have been bet. It would have been worth it.
It's so funny you bring that up because I saw on Twitter, I think it was Darren Rovell, which is like tweeting out screen grabs of people that won. And I thought to myself, I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
As someone that thought of like the kneel down bet, yeah, you're right. That was a mistake on our part.
I was pretty mad at myself for that one, but worse things have happened.
But back to the Jimmy G thing.
Yes, back to James.
I think that I agree he is good with the Shanahan offense because Shanahan clearly designs a good offense, right? So I would just be interested to see him with Sirianni. Just interested to see.
I think there is an interest to see Sirianni with that type of quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Philip Rivers.
We don't know. And I'd
be a little interested.
So from a coaching perspective, did you feel like the Eagles coaching staff is far away when you watched the weekend?
The obvious answer is yes. But then I also think like
Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott, yeah. But
he's a good coach. That was a bad moment for Sean.
Yeah, I mean it's a devastating moment.
Like
for him.
Maybe we'll never live.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But like there is again the part of me, and I lean this way with the Carson and Doug debate too, which is like if you don't have a quarterback where you're like, okay, he's definitely the guy, then it's hard
for me
to get on the
coaches. Well, the Eagles won the Super Bowl because they had definitely the guy, you know, and then Foles became like a miracle guy for 2 games.
Basically the guy for 2 games.
Literally played, I mean, out to Tom Brady, the best Super Bowl Brady's ever played. 28-3 is the best he ever played, but in terms of just pure numbers, like he had 505 yards passing.
Well, the other interesting thing about the quarterback position, the whole like debate thing is, so I wrote on the website this week that they should consider drafting a quarterback. And a lot of the feedback I'm using kindly, was like...
A lot of the hate?
Yeah. A lot of it was like, you're not showing any patience with Hurts. Like, if you draft a rookie and he's bad after 1 year, you're going to want to move on from him too. But what's interesting is, after Carson's first year in 2016, like, Jalen in 2021 was objectively, like, statistically better than Carson in 2016. Nobody after 2016 wanted to move on from Carson.
Well,
Not a single. So I think it's interesting that with Jalen, he made the playoffs. He had better stats.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, people like me who are on the Jalen bandwagon are like, I don't know. Carson was not that good as a
great
rookie. Long stretches where he didn't play well.
Yeah.
But nobody thought that he wasn't the guy. And then 2017, obviously, he takes off. So I just think it shows like, people are patient in this city. There's a perception
it's
people are not,
point.
But Carson was not great as a rookie.
It's a great point.
And people said like, okay, you know what though,
he's
the
guy.
You could see the
physical ability and all that stuff. It's a really good point though, Elliot. It does make me think of when making comparisons, the Hurts comparison you just made. Quickly, I want to get your take on it because I think like probably the biggest like Eagles Twitter thing that has happened this week has been the Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen stuff.
Oh, dude.
The idea that like, you know, and there have been a lot of points on both sides, and the idea that, like, yes, we have, I think many in Philadelphia have said, like, Jalen Hurts getting better, look at Josh Allen, he got better. And then there are a lot of people pointing out, Josh Allen is as unique a case as you'll ever see. And then obviously the numbers, Hurts' numbers, like, slightly better, I guess.
Dude, like,
What are your thoughts on the whole Hurts Allen thing?
It just reeks of desperation.
Yeah.
It's like a ship going down, and you're, like, trying to convince yourself at the last second. Look, Jalen could develop into something better. He absolutely could. Josh Allen is not the reason to think that that's going to happen. Josh Allen, and I'm Mr. like, doesn't matter where you're drafted thing. Josh Allen was drafted 7th overall because he has, like, I don't care.
Josh Allen would have been number one if he was good in college. It's just he was taken at 7 on all the physical stuff he had, which is like, think about what that means. Like,
and I'll also say this. Jalen Hurts is an impressive runner. I think you could make an argument Josh Allen is a better runner than Jalen.
I think it's really hard because it's so different. Like, Hurts is clearly faster, and Hurts has more shiftiness. But, like, Josh Allen, like, let's put it this way. If I need a yard, I'm getting Josh Allen. Like, it's not a question. If I need 2 yards, I'm getting Josh Allen. Like, you know, so, like, there is something about his just bulldoze people running style.
And
that is wild.
That's, like, what I had a takeaway watching that game was his running just stood out and seemed so much more effective because it was a compliment to the passing game.
Right.
Whereas with Hurts,
right.
it feels
it's
like that,
yeah.
all of his running is, like, the plays are breaking down or, like, they have no other choice but to do it, right? So, look, could Jalen Hurts improve? Absolutely. I think he has a track record of improvement. Can he turn into, like, a success story? Yes, of course he can. Is it because Josh Allen did it? No. Josh Allen has physical skills that Jalen Hurts just does not have. Like, and you're listening to somebody that was really high on Jalen Hurts. Like, this is not a Jalen Hurts hater. I liked him before the draft. I liked him coming into the year. He does not have the physical tools Josh Allen has. He just doesn't.
Just flat out doesn't.
I don't know what to tell you.
You see the ball come out of Josh Allen's hand, you're like, oh, that's different.
Well, the other issue with this whole thing is because people do it just more than Josh Allen. They'll be like, you know, Peyton Manning had whatever
interceptions his rookie
year. You know, whoever lost his first three playoff games, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the difference is that, like, there's so many guys that also, like, didn't recover. We just don't remember them.
It's way more. Like, it's 99% don't. That's why we're. It's the same names, right? It's Peyton Manning's rookie year.
It's Josh Allen. Yeah.
Like, it's because there are so few examples of that happening.
Right. Like, I forget who was making the comparison to another second round pick. It was, I can't remember. Oh, it was Drew Brees. I was filling in for Ike Reese, and someone made the comparison, like, another quarterback that coming out wasn't viewed as accurate, was taken in the second round, was undersized, and they're like, it was Drew Brees. But I'm like, yeah, but also, like, Christian Hackenberg went in the second round. You know, like,
a million guys.
Right.
Yeah.
So
way
I just,
more than don't. Like, yeah, I agree.
I don't like the whole, like, he did it, so now this guy.
I agree. And it's different eras, different teams, different. There's so many factors.
Even the Kyler Murray thing, which I was a bit of a part of, like, he struggled in his first start. And I think that is some good. It's a good, like,
reminder.
But also, Kyler Murray was, like, almost the NFL MVP for a part of this year, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that you just have to look at Jalen Hurts for what he is right now. Jalen Hurts is already a success story. As a second-round pick, he was not supposed to lead a team to the playoffs. You can debate that. But he was the quarterback of a team that took them to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He was not supposed to be that as a second-round pick. He's already an accomplishment. Nobody's saying Jalen Hurts is not an NFL quarterback. Jalen Hurts is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world right
now. I agree.
The issue is, like, we need to get the guy. As a city have to decide, can he become,
not even
top five, but, like, can he go up a next level? And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think anyone does, no matter what anyone says. And I think you can see that with, like, all right, if you, like, we follow this team, we talk about this team, whatever, but, like, even if you want to go to, like the tape expert guys, you know, the Baldies and this and that, like, one of them says, like, Baldy, I love him, I think he's going to be great. And then you're another guy who's like, yeah, he doesn't have it. He's not going to be. Like, there is such a varied, not just within fan base, not just within the media, but within, like, people who study the game at the highest levels, guys who played the game, guys who've coached the game. Like, it seems like they're split on what it
can be. And also, like, the breaking down the tape thing on Twitter can be a little misleading because we don't know if these people know what they're looking at.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, like, there are lots of videos that circulate on Eagles Twitter which are not kind to Jalen Hurts in terms of, like, guys wide open, missing reads, those
things. Yeah, and those, to great points, we don't know what the play call is.
Yeah, we don't know what he's coached to do
in that situation.
Yes.
That example we had in that
the
whatever
Dallas
play
Connor
with the,
one where he was wide
open,
but
he wasn't supposed to look there.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why this is such a fascinating offseason. You know, it's why. Because it's such a confluence of things where we have a quarterback who is tantalizing and has shown things, but also, you know, shows flaws from a throwing perspective. All these things, like, where it's like, we don't know. Like, he's such an enigma. We don't know whether he's going to leave, what that's going to happen. So you've got that piece of it. Then you have the Eagles having three first-round picks for the first time in their history.
Yeah, it's the perfect storm.
And then
storm.
You have the potential for multiple all-time quarterbacks to be on the market.
Yeah.
Like, it is a perfect storm. It's a perfect way to put it. It's a perfect storm.
Like, if they didn't have three first-round picks, we're probably not talking about it.
Of course not, yeah.
Or we're focusing on the draft more.
Totally.
And that's really what the draft—
And if there weren't Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and these guys, Deshaun Watson, eventually available—
Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo.
If these guys weren't available, we're not talking about it, because it's just like, should they draft a guy or not? None of these guys are great.
Right,
maybe,
like,
you pick a guy.
It is.
Right. But this whole confluence of all these things together, and then to your point, like, all these quarterbacks kind of being in the range that they're drafting makes it another layer of it.
Yes.
I think the least interesting layer, but still another layer of it.
But it's not like they have the 15th pick and there's a great guy, but he's number one.
Right.
So, but the other part of this, and I don't know if we've brought this up on the pod or not, but the financial aspect of it is also big here. Because Jalen Hurts—
Yeah, this is a great point that people don't talk about. Everyone's like, cheap quarterback.
But he's only cheap for one more year. One more year.
That's the point. And if he plays well enough this year, it's actually like, you need him to either be great or be what he is now and let us know. But he can't, like, be like the 12th best. If he's like the 12th to 14th best quarterback and he takes like steps forward but not dramatic ones, then you're in a whole nother situation.
Well, because also, like, he's not even on a first-round salary. He's making $1 million this year.
Yeah.
So if you're Jalen, let's say Jalen, let's just play it out. Starts the year, he looks marginally better. They make the playoffs. They're more competitive. They either win or they don't win. But, like, they don't win the Super Bowl. They either get out the first round or they're competitive and they lose. You're Jalen, you go, okay, well, I'm not going to be your starting quarterback next year for $1 million, right? So, like, I don't know if he holds out or what, but he is not cheap for much longer. And if for whatever reason you say, you know what, Jalen, like, screw you, you are going to play on the fourth year, then at the end of that year, you have to hand him a massive deal. So you have him cheap at most for one more year, but in two more years, he's, like, extremely expensive, mm-hmm. right? So that's the other thing about the rookie
which
question.
Goes back to the, should they just draft more quarterbacks?
Right.
Kind of, like, restart clocks and find a guy who can just sit until you find a guy you really want to pay.
Right.
Well, because we've been down this road, right? Like, the worst thing they can do, and again, something you were absolutely right about and I was absolutely wrong about, not just Carson, but the contract specifically, like, the worst situation you could be in is giving a huge contract to a guy who's not good enough.
Right, or taking it too early. So, but that's the thing with Jalen is, like, it won't be too early. He'll be eligible for a contract, and he's either going to not play. In my opinion, he will hold out because there is so much money available to him, and he's Mr. Popular. Like, he's only going to be more popular a year from now in that locker room, presumably.
Assuming, yes.
Presumably, he improves and
like, all that. Because obviously, like, there is the stuff where if it's like, if he's not
he's
good
enough.
He's
costing people money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If Devontae Smith is looking at me like, bro, like, you're hurting my ability to
like,
make
look
money.
Look at what Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson are doing.
Right. You know, those are things you think about and stuff. But also to that point, flipping it back around, like, who knows what Jalen Hurts could, if they go out and sign, you know, Allen Robinson or whoever, like, guys, you know, examples of veteran receivers and get some real guys in here, like with Smith and Hurts and Goddard and stuff like that. What does he look like? That? There are so many factors.
I know, but the other, and we are just literally building on top of each other.
I know, it's like an onion.
But if you're,
we're building the onion up from the inside out.
But if you're a veteran receiver, do you want to sign here? Like, money is what it is, which ultimately decides it. But if you're Allen Robinson and you've played with bad quarterbacks pretty much your whole
career. Yeah, do you want to play for Hurts?
Are you going to come here and play for Hurts?
It seems like guys like Hurts, right? I don't know.
That's why I think Calvin Ridley's good, because you know he likes Jalen.
Yeah.
But Allen Robinson, Mike Williams, and we like Jalen. But if you're Devontae Adams, like, are you?
I think Devontae Adams is going wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, or he's getting franchised, and he's
right.
I think probably what happens is Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, Devontae Adams gets franchised, and they work out a trade to send him to Broncos.
Yeah. I just don't think receivers are going to be excited to sign up for this team. And money talks. The Eagles are a good franchise, like all those things. But if you're when Alshon signed here for Carson, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody signs here and says with a straight face, it's because I wanted to play with the Jalen Hurts passing attack. Like, you could like Jalen, but you're not looking at this team and going like, I'm going to put a big numbers
here. That guy's a great
here.
Thrower.
You're like,
right.
This guy's going to help me, you know, get 1,200 yards.
Man,
like,
it really is. So it is one of those, it's a really interesting time in the sense that like we just had this season that, you know, I think on the whole was successful.
Fritz is just so left.
Yeah,
out.
I know.
Yeah.
He's like look dancing in the hallway right now.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is a little
sad.
He
knew football. He could come in.
Yeah, he's actually like pitching, like doing a wind up in here.
Pretending to pitch.
It's a really unique situation because it's like a successful season that ended
with
a whimper and a damper where it kind of made it like slightly less successful. I still think it's successful, but I think everyone looks at it like,
no question, it was a buzzkill.
It was a buzzkill, less successful, and you're in the situation with the quarterback and you're in the situation with the roster where it's like, it's all up in the air, man. It's a really
fascinating
time. I mean,
think about it.
Time.
If they lose to the Buccaneers 41-37 or 33-30.
Oh, it's a whole different offseason.
Yeah, no one, you know.
We're like, Jay looked great.
Yeah.
Dude put up 37 on balls.
Exactly.
Ooh, it's all good. We're going to win the Super Bowl anyway. Let's roll. And again, he looked really bad.
Yeah, like, exactly. He looked like...
It was
worst fear come to life.
It was all the worst fears. So it really is, it's a unique situation we're in this offseason, and it really is major, major decisions for this team that are going to really implicate things down the road. It's, you know...
It's a big one.
Don't bleep it up, buddy.
No. Well, good news is
charge. Thank God.
With Jeffrey and Howie running
Thank
the show.
Thank God, we're in great
You don't
hands.
Have to be worried, yeah.
Because I watched the Chiefs just... Keep on rolling. I'd rather be a Chiefs fan.
The Chiefs
I'll
are
kind of
like the Patriots now, though, in the way where it's like you almost can't compare.
And it's Andy.
And it's Andy.
And it's our guy.
Someone commented, and we'll do reviews this week, but like there was a review left, and I apologize over in front of me, but it was, should they have just kept Andy? And I don't think Andy has a success here, but
I, 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 I think the Andy thing was done.
Yeah.
It just was time had run its course, and I don't think he's as great here. I think he needed a fresh start, all these
and
things.
And he got Mahomes.
But, like, yeah, and he got Mahomes. But, like, of course, like, you look at what's happening, and you're like, yeah, I'd rather he was doing that here, of course.
Right.
Like, I mean, duh. Like, yeah.
Although, I wonder if the Eagles would have gotten Mahomes. Because you think about it, if he liked him enough, the Eagles,
that's
on the top of my head, they
might. All right, we're done. I'm not talking about this. I can't talk about an alternate reality.
They could have drafted.
It was the Derek Barnett draft. They could have gotten up to 10.
They could have gotten up to get him.
Of course they could have. The Chiefs traded up to get him. They weren't the 10th pick.
I never thought of this aspect of it.
I didn't either.
They probably have Mahomes.
Until you just brought it up.
If the Eagles don't fire Andy Reid, they have Mahomes. There's no way they don't, because if he loves him.
I can't do this.
They only have to go up 4 picks.
I can't do this. No!
Yeah.
No!
Wow, I might tweet that.
Well, it's because of the Bradford trade, though, that they had the pick. So does
what
that
do you mean?
Happen?
I'm trying to, I can't remember.
It
in my
was
head.
The Minnesota pick.
So
they
fired Andy in 2012.
Yeah.
No, so it wasn't Barnett. Barnett was 2017.
No, we're talking. Yeah. Andy didn't get. He played with Alex Smith for a few years in Kansas City. What are you talking about?
Okay, true.
It was Barnett.
Okay,
it
you're
was
right.
The Barnett draft.
You're right. Okay.
My point is that. Yeah, it was the Barnett draft. I'm right. The one my first year.
Because Mitch Trubisky was
two. I'm definitely right.
Yeah.
But the point is the pick that they took Derek Barnett, they didn't have their own first round pick, remember, because of the Carson trade.
Right.
It was the Sam Bradford pick that they took Barnett with. So that's when they were at 14 to get. And there are too many what ifs, because if Chip's not here, what picks do they have? Like, we can't make it that hypothetical, but like, yeah. Like,
but from a basic perspective, Andy loved Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, great. Way to end this on a high note.
Would you,
like the Eagles season. This is a great pod. We had a good time, and then we just end on a freaking.
Would you trade the Eagles Super Bowl to have Mahomes right now as the quarterback?
Yes.
And not guaranteeing you win another one.
You'd win another one.
Yeah, you would. But it probably wouldn't be as special for what it's worth. I mean, I'm sure all championships are special.
I mean, like,
but
look,
like,
I wouldn't trade the Eagles Super Bowl for anything in reality, because I experienced it. It was the greatest thing that ever happened. Like, it was perfect. It was magical. It's a storybook.
Yeah, it was everything.
It's unbelievable.
You could ask. Yep.
But, like, yeah, like, Mahomes, like, that's many Super Bowls. Like that,
yeah.
He's been 2 years in a row. He should have been 3. Like, he's going to win again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, he's good.
We'd end it
he's definitely
right.
The QB1. I've been, like, you know, saying
You've
maybe
been fighting
Herbert,
it,
but like, he's obviously QB1.
It's Mahomes 1.
It's Josh Allen 2.
Yeah, that's the, we always talked about Herbert, and then I said Burrow ahead of Herbert.
Yeah.
Which feel vindicated about, but we forgot to, it's Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Burrow 3. Herbert 4. That's my list. Which is interesting for the Philadelphia Eagles in what?
No idea.
They're all AFC quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
So it is interesting that, like, I would not want to be an AFC team that's not one of those 4 guys. And you could get a new quarterback and all that stuff. Like, Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver. It's like, wow, we're getting really out of control. But, like, it is good for the Eagles. Like, I appreciate that the 4 young quarterbacks that I would start a team with are all in the AFC. Like, that's cool.
Well, when you look, I was talking to Joe Giglio about this. He brought up. He brought. Yeah, no big deal to me. He brought up quarterbacks under 30 in the NFC. There's only one that's definitely better than Hurts.
Kyler.
Oh, so I guess 2. Dak. Well, he brought it up again. He said it, but Dak and Kyler.
Yeah, sure. But that makes here. Let me look real quick. That's a really fascinating one. But that was my point.
So, like,
because like,
obviously Jared Goff's not that good. Justin
AFC,
Fields, you have no idea.
Yeah, because the AFC is, you know, that's what I'm saying.
I'll look up how old Dak is. Is Dak? Dak might be 30 already.
I don't think so. I mean,
well, but
Carson,
he was the same year as Carson.
He was younger than Carson though, when he
was
came
he?
Out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, everyone was. Come on. Yeah, looking at the
28.
List.
Dak's 28.
Looking at the list. Yeah, it's a really good point.
You want to read through the list?
Well, look, there's just no, like, there aren't that many good quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, the AFC is really the spot. We're very lucky with this. I mean, Dallas, you mentioned, but like, Washington doesn't have quarterback, New York Giants, Green Bay, Rodgers, old Minnesota,
right.
Chicago, Detroit. I mean, none of these guys. Like,
yeah.
Tampa is Tom Brady. Who knows what's going to happen?
Atlanta,
New Orleans
nobody,
doesn't have
New
one.
Orleans is
Matt
nobody.
Ryan, Carolina doesn't have
nobody.
One. The Rams of Stafford, who's older, Kyler,
right.
Jimmy G in San Francisco, and Russell Wilson. There are no good young quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah, there's really
none.
That's
what we call a market inefficiency to take advantage of.
Well, here's a question. So, and then we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah,
but like, if the Eagles tried to trade Hurts, what would they get? Do you get a 1?
No.
But we just went through all those teams and all of them.
I know. I'm just saying I don't think they do. I wish they would.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm not saying I disagree.
If you're
it's
another
just crazy.
Team, are you trading a 1 for Hurts?
You could talk yourself into it. Like, if we didn't watch Hurts,
perfect roster.
If we didn't watch Hurts every week, and granted, the team that trades for him presumably would watch all of his games. But like, if we're covering a pod,
it's an interesting one. If you trade, like, if you're the Steelers,
like, if we're doing a Panthers pod, where we're sitting here and saying,
no, I don't think any team like that would. But I think it'd have to be a team that's ready to roll. No, if you're trading for Hurts, you're trading for him because you believe you can, like, because you're gonna have to pay him in a year. Like, you got to be
true.
Ready.
But I think
you have a roster.
But I don't think he's like a team trading for like Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think the Panthers trade for Deshaun or something like that.
Well, but the point I'm making about Hurts is I think you can trade for him, saying I know we have to pay him in a year, but like he can be our guy. Like he's not a win now quarterback.
I know that, but I still think the perception around the league is that he was a second round pick. I still think that weighs on him. Like whereas like Darnold was the third pick in the draft, and people are still going to take a shot on that talent and all that stuff. Like I think people. All those teams still say, we passed on this guy in the first round of the draft a couple years ago. Like, that's what we thought of him.
Right.
And, yeah, he's better. He's improved himself. But, like, I still think that stigma sticks to it. You know what I mean?
But it is telling that, like, we just went through the NFC and there was, like, seven teams that had, like, no quarterback.
It's an interesting
And we don't think any of them would give up a
you're
first
You're the insider. Ask around. See what Hurts would get.
I'm at the combine, maybe.
Ask around. See hey, what's the highest Eagles can get for Hurts if they want to trade
him? Out there like, yo, you take a third for him?
All right. Let's get out of here. We will be back with the Parks Picks pod later in the week, the conference title game version or episode of that.
Yes.
And Saturday, our show on WIP 1 to 3. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, it doesn't look like Leeds is going to get Brendan Harrison.
Oh,
I know you've been thinking
about
it. I know.
I had not thought about it since last time you said it.
I've had a surprising amount of Eagles pod listeners reach out to talk about it, which I very
much
enjoyed.
Wow, that's pretty, yeah, we had a caller come in.
I think it was Rick from South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yes. Yeah. That's a good memory by you.
Thank you.
Shout out to Rick.
Also
a pod listener.
Basically, all I've been thinking about, what's funny is it's 5 hours ahead there, so whenever I wake up in the morning, Kristen's alarm goes off at 7:30, the first thing I do is I check Twitter to see if anything happened. Wow. It's like 1 o'clock.
Must be nice to wake up at 7:30.
Yeah, it is. Got out of bed at 9:30 this morning.
An hour and a half. Oh my God, I hate you.
Yeah, just laid in bed and worked.
6 o'clock, Elliot.
It's ridiculous.
I know. It is.
Trying to think if anything else is up. TV, obviously watching a lot of TV. Started Euphoria. Very good.
Yeah, I can't get there. I mean, I'm sure it's very good. I just, you know.
I will say you having
I have a daughter.
Yeah.
I've heard enough about the show to know what it's about. It's like, I don't ever want to think about
it. Yeah, I watch it. I don't have a kid. In my head, I'm like, why are kids so mean?
Yeah.
Like why can't they just be honest to their
parents? I think I've said this to you before, which is funny that you say that, but that was something that, like, one of my biggest, like, takeaways from becoming a parent, like, in terms of my life. And
right.
Is I totally identify with the parents now and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I watch like stuff I watched as a kid, like that Home Alone. I watch Home Alone like I used to think of Kevin. Oh, it's so fun. You're get the house. Like now I look at them like they're fucking parents. Like, oh my God, like, how horrible is this? Like, can you imagine? Like, this little asshole to the parents. What a dick. Like, I hate this. Like, that's all. Everything I watch now, it's all through the parents' eyes.
You know
what
really?
Total switch.
I feel like that when I'm watching movies about big brothers being mean to their little siblings.
Mm.
Like whenever I watch that, I'm like, why is he being such like a? Why is he being so mean to his little? Like, what are bullies? Like, I watch a show that has bullies in it, I always think to myself like. How big of a jerk do you have to be a bully? Like that. Like I look at this stuff on TV and I'm like, imagine like going up to some poor little kid and just pushing him over to be a bully. It's like, come on, man.
I'm with you, pal.
No more bullying.
No,
Go Birds Pod officially taking the stance against bullies.
We are taking a stand, a controversial stand.
Yes.
We don't like bullies.
Not a fan on bullies, and also kids, be honest to your parents.
And also Patrick Mahomes could have been an Eagle.
Yeah, there it is.
We'll leave you with that. All right, Saturday, 1 to 3, Parks Picks later in the week. He's Adam James. Talk to you soon.